Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide by the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, from snowy State Street in Madison. I am not Todd Albaugh. I am Trygve Olson, your guest host today, standing in for Todd, along with our production engineer, Aaron Zommers, my co-pilot today, keeping me on task. I get nervous when Aaron gets distracted with other things, so forgive me if I make some mistakes. It's Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. I have this hour, last hour, we had Joe Trippi, a legendary Democrat strategist who's a colleague of mine at the Lincoln Project. I now have the other legend within my Lincoln Project colleague universe, Stuart Stevens, who literally, if there is a Republican, a state in the country, he has worked to get Republicans elected there. He is one of the most fascinating guys I know. And Stuart and I, when we get together outside professionally and are having a few drinks, always end up telling stories about various things around the world, and Stuart's supersede mine because, and we won't get him into this, but let's just say Stuart has cross-country skied to the Arctic Circle, which is pretty impressive in my book. I want to start things off though. We have a caller, Jay in London, who is on every time I'm on, and I know Jay is a huge fan of Stuart's and Stuart's books, and we'll get into Stuart's books in a minute, but I wanted to have Jay come on because I know Jay has questions. So, Jay, we're going to you. Jay, are you there? We don't have Jay, Mr. Zommers.
I'll try and get that figured out.
Okay, we'll get that figured out. All right, I want to start with Stuart. Stuart Stevens, as I said, has worked at senior levels of Republican politics, helped reelect President George W. Bush doing his ads, Mitt Romney's senior advisor, elected more Republicans to the United States Senate than anyone. In 2016, Stuart left. Did you leave the Republican Party in 2016 before Trump, I believe? And when did your book come out? He wrote a book. It was all a lie.
It was all a lie. I actually left the party in 2019.
2019, he left the party. Yeah. Your book, It Was All a Lie, was the first book, which talks about, and we'll talk about it in a second, how, and I feel this way too, all these Republicans that we worked with, they didn't really believe any of what they were saying. But his second book, which has just come out, The Conspiracy to End America, I want to read the dedication. Because as Stuart knows, I worked, and as listeners know, I worked around the world in Ukraine. Stuart's dedication says, for Ukraine, at a time many Americans take democracy for granted, Ukrainians remind us every day of its price. When I read that, you were gracious enough to send me a copy of your book. I was sitting in bed reading it. My wife asked me why I was getting choked up reading your book, because she was thinking of you in terms of politics. Tell a little bit about what went into that. I mean, you have been a huge advocate for Ukraine. Talk a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, what drew me to the Republican Party, I think drew a lot of us, was the idea of Ronald Reagan standing in front of the Berlin Wall saying, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, bring down this wall. The idea that we were on the side of freedom, the idea that we were on the side of fighting tyranny. My dad was like so many others, spent 3 years in the South Pacific fighting, 28 island landings, came back, never talked about it. His brother was grievously wounded soon after D-Day, never fully recovered. And they were just like hundreds of thousands of other Americans. And the legacy that they passed on is a legacy that now this party that we used to belong to is squandering. And I just find it so unimaginable that the Republican Party has become the home of the pro-Putin element in American politics. And Ukraine is the best of us. They are fighting for what we say we believe in. And they are protecting America. They're protecting all democracies. It's as clear a case of good versus evil we've had since World War II.
Yeah, and you know, I would say when I'm back home in Western Wisconsin and I'm drinking with my buddies, they'll ask, why should we care about Ukraine? And I'd be interested in your perspective on this. I mean, Vladimir Putin, literally, if you watch Russian television or clips of Russian television, literally they threaten the people of Wisconsin and all across the United States with nuclear annihilation daily.
Yeah, I mean, do we really have to relitigate why appeasement doesn't work?
Right.
You know, I mean, we really, really need to walk through that. Didn't we have World War II, 100 million dead, Holocaust? Right. I think that this is a case where it's not coincidental that those who are the closest to the Soviet, former Soviet Union, closest to Russia, feel this the most passionately.
Yeah.
Those countries where you worked and spent so much time. And they understand the threat of Russia. I can remember a few years ago in my obsession with cross-country skiing, I did this crazy event they have where you ski from the Russian border to the Swedish border, like in 8 days, great fun. And I was really struck by how omnipresent the Russian threat was then. And this is pre-Ukraine. When you started at the Russian border, they still had burnout Russian tanks left in the forest as reminders of the Winter War of 1939, which is one of the more extraordinary feats of arms in history when the Finns stood up to the Russians. Guys and women I was skiing with, they were in the reserves. Finland is a country of 5.5 million that has an ability to stand up a reservist army within 72 hours of 900,000. And they talked about it. And you would be skiing along and you would see a road in the forest and it had weird markings on it. And you talk and they were marked because they could use them as runways.
Right.
So if the Soviet Union, I mean, if Russia invaded, they were going to fly these planes out of these bases in the south and disperse them across the north. And it was just this very real, tangible sense of what a threat Russia was. And they have the largest European border with Russia. I think one of the factors here in America is the isolation that we have. Mm-hmm. The fact that unless you're a Southerner, you didn't really live in a part of the world that's ever suffered from a war. And it becomes very unreal to us. Yep. I think it's difficult for us to imagine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have tried, and I'm still trying, to organize this effort where Ukrainians would come over. Ukrainian veterans would be great, but it could be mothers, kids, fathers, sons. Come over and go around to conservative parts of the country and just speak like at Rotary Clubs.
Right.
And just tell them what it's like there.
Yeah.
And what they're fighting for. You know, more Ukrainians died fighting the Nazis than Americans.
Right.
And this gets, as you well know, papered over in history because they just referred to as the Red Army.
Right.
But they were Ukrainians. And this, you know, this is like to say, you know, none of us get to choose history, but history chooses us. This is the test of our generation.
Yeah, I really think. Don't you think when you see Donald Trump? I mean, and I give Nikki Haley some credit for this. Nikki Haley is not my cup of tea, but the reality is the fact that she says called him out for saying Kim Jong-un is good people, like. It's no different than there's good people on both sides after Charlottesville. And the idea that people, Americans of all people, would stand up and cheer that, or Viktor Orban, that's not who we're supposed to be as a nation.
You know, we live in a world in which it is a true statement that Bernie Sanders is to the right of the Republican Party. the Republican Party's nominee and former president.
Right.
I mean, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean,
how did that happen?
Here's you helped elect President Bush, right? You know President Bush well. You spent a lot of time with him. I was 40 feet from President Bush when he was in Vilnius, Lithuania, saying, you know, if you choose, they got into NATO. If you choose, we're sending out to the world, if you choose Lithuania and the Baltic states as an enemy, you're choosing an enemy of the United States. We're not 20 years. We're about 20 years from that moment. And already our word is being called into question if Donald Trump is elected. And it's the Republican Party. And I think this is what makes people like you and I so confounded and also feel a little guilty. And you get at it in your book. It was all a lie. Was our word really not worth anything?
You know, there's a lot of complicated ways to look at this. But there's one simple way to look at it. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt, every U.S. intelligence agency agrees, the Senate-led Intelligence Committee agrees, Russians helped elect Donald Trump. Now, we can debate whether or not they made the difference, but causality in politics, as you well know, is the hardest thing always to pinpoint. Was it this? Was it that? Putin worked for Donald Trump. Donald Trump won. What did they get? Well, it turns out they got a lot. They got a president who has now reshaped the Republican Party such that the second most powerful person in the House of Representatives is an advocate for Putin, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
And I don't understand, like literally do not understand, how is it that someone like Tom Cotton, senator from Arkansas, an odd guy, you know, a guy that kind of comes across as somebody they made like Friday afternoon when they were trying to get off of work and it was quite not quite finished. But he, smart guy, went to Harvard Law School, served in the Army, was the real stuff, graduated from Ranger School, did serious combat duty, has passionately spoken out
hey,
about
Stu,
Ukraine.
We're going to have to take a break, but we'll catch
okay,
it on the
we'll
other side.
We'll come back and pick
Perfect.
It up on the back
yep.
side.
Be right back on the Civics Media Radio Network.
Darn it. Welcome, everyone, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media Radio app. Good afternoon. I'm Trigvi Olson, standing in for Todd Albaugh from snowy State Street in Madison, Wisconsin. We have a really special guest, my colleague at the Lincoln Project, Stuart Stevens, who's written two of the best books that I have read about the situation that we face in the country. The first, It Was All a Lie, which if you're interested in why the Republican Party has become what it's become, is a great book in terms of understanding that. And the second, The Conspiracy to End America. Stuart, we were talking a little bit before the break, and then we're going to take some callers about Tom Cotton and sort of this evolution. Do you want to continue that thought?
Yeah, I just, you know, Trick, I don't understand, like U.S. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. Smart guy, went to Harvard Law School, served in the Army, graduated from Ranger School, which is no small feat. Did combat duty, I mean, the real deal, right? Has been passionate on the support of Ukraine, the essential need for the United States, for Ukraine to win. Someone who wrote on January 6, 21, a passionate denouncement of Trump. And he endorsed Trump about 10 days ago in a lavish North Korean style, over the top. Everything was better when Donald Trump was president. And I literally do not understand this. He doesn't pace a primary. He's not going to lose a seat in Arkansas. I can't imagine he wants to be in the cabinet. Who's going to leave the U.S. Senate to be in the cabinet, a safe seat? He's not aiming to be on the Supreme Court, I don't think. He's been named, but he's never even been a judge. I doubt he's going to, first time he's going to be a judge. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I really don't understand it. But as I've said before, I'll never ask myself how 1930s Germany happened again.
Yeah, I completely agree. So we're going to go to Jay in London. Jay is a huge fan, Stuart, of the Lincoln Project, and I know she's is a huge fan of yours. So, Jay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you, my brother?
We are good. You have Stuart here today, so, and I know you've been, you occasionally ask me questions for Stuart, so now you have the chance to ask him yourself.
Yeah. I've been dying to speak to Stuart. When you have Joe, I wanted to call him, but I say, let me wait until Stuart come along so that I can talk to the big Stuart, the great one. So, Stuart, here we go.
Nice to meet you.
Do you think?
Thanks for calling.
Nice to meet you, too. Yeah, no problem. Do you think the Democrats have a great chance of winning the 2024 election if at all President Biden did not run for re-election? Because I think the governor of Kentucky, when paired with the governor of Maryland, Trump has zero chance. Still, I am truly horrified to see this. I come from Africa, the Gambia. The best president, or I could say the president that I admire most, is George H.W. Bush, because he has done a lot for our country when it comes to democracy. But now I've seen what the Republican Party has turned into. I don't know what is going on. Why did Biden decide to run again?
Well, look, I think the history of people not wanting to be president once they're president isn't very great. I think that Biden feels that he is in a unique moment, that his whole life is built up to this, which I think it has. You know, it's a fascinating study, I think, in politics of someone who had run for president before and wasn't very good at it. But what were his negatives before suddenly became positives. He's sort of a boring guy. That became a stable person. He's been in the Senate forever, so he's a career politician. That became someone who knew how to govern. And I think that those qualities he feels are uniquely needed now. I believe Joe Biden is going to win this race decisively. And why do I believe that? Well, first, he won last time by 7 million votes. So at face value, you say you run the same race again, he'll win. All he needs to do is get repeat customers, which in politics is pretty much the easiest thing to do. But Biden's best group of voters were under 30 voters. He won those by 22 points. And there are a large number of younger voters who have entered the electorate. And Trump's best group were older voters. And there are fewer older voters walking the earth. So as long as younger voters turn out, it should be easier for Biden to win. I think I think one of my little passions for the Democrats, and I just wrote an article that's going to come out soon in the New Republic, is I think Democrats should start calling Joe Biden a great president. He's been a great president, done historic stuff. If you were a child born the first week when Republicans started talking about the infrastructure bill, you were headed to the first grade by the time Democrats passed it. They passed the CHIPS bill, which is hugely important. Actually did it with bipartisan support. He passed the most significant gun control legislation. And something that means a lot to Trigg and I, and so many in the world, he has held together, helped assemble the coalition that is saving the world in Europe. If Vladimir Putin defeats Ukraine, a darkness will fall over Europe with consequences which I think are very difficult to imagine. But history is the best indicator of where that will be, and it's going to be very, very dark indeed.
Stuart, we're getting a ton of that. I agree with you completely. Let's take a quick question from Mark from Prairie du Sac so that we can get him in before we hit the break.
Okay.
Mark from Prairie du Sac.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking my call. And it's a fascinating conversation that reminds me of some of the work that Malcolm Nance is putting on, the threat to democracy that we're now facing. It's just remarkable to me that the moral cowardice that I see among so many of the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin, across the country, that they did not denounce the whole big lie that, you know, Trump won the last election. That how much have we paid out here in the state of Wisconsin? I think it's over $3 million now that we paid out for former Justice Gableman to have his little investigation on finding fraud, and didn't find anything. But just a continuation of the lie, and the part of Wisconsin Republicans played in the fake electors thing here, a conspiracy that was part of the whole insurrection. It was another piece to the puzzle of the whole insurrection that we experience in this country, that they don't want to call it an insurrection. The sophistry that goes on where Trump has said, well, he never took an oath to support the Constitution. Of course, so that's just, you know, a different language than what the language is in our Constitution, because, of course, he took an oath to support the Constitution. But, I mean, the failure on the part of so many Republicans to denounce Donald Trump for what he is just, it's scary, it's terrifying. And it's refreshing to hear some Republicans standing up. But, I mean, the cowardice of on the part of Robin Voss, who never fails to disappoint, that...
Mark, Stuart, what's your take on that cowardice?
I think Mark, Mark has totally nailed it here. You can't blame Donald Trump. We know who Donald Trump is. The fault is with the Republican Party, who went along with Donald Trump. If everybody who knew that Donald Trump lost that election, which is pretty much every elected official in Washington, within 3 days they knew, most of them knew within a day, had they stood up and done the simple act of having their comm shop put out a statement congratulating the president-elect of the United States, right? That's not a pretty daunting task to defend democracy. You don't have to charge a machine gun nest, take a beach, just have your comm shop put out a three-sentence statement. Had they done that, Donald Trump would have continued to say that he won the election, but he would have been isolated, and it would have changed everything. So blame the Republican Party for following Donald Trump.
I'm Trygve Olson. You're listening to the Todd Abaw Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be back with Stuart Stevens after a couple of ads. Wherever it may lead, this is the Todd Abaw Show, all across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am not Todd Abaw. Every time I say that, Mr. Zomers, I think of the old Saturday Night Live skit, I'm Chevy Chase and you're not. Yes, I am not Todd Abaw. I am Trygve Olson. For those of you who listen on Hump Day, Wednesdays, you know that I am on for my favorite hour professionally of every week with Todd and Mr. Zomers talking politics and the Green Bay Packers and all things Wisconsin. Todd is otherwise predisposed during this period, but he will be on for those who need a dose of Todd with Terry Bell covering the state of the state tonight, where Tony Evers, the governor, will be giving a big speech where hopefully he'll be laying out in a positive agenda. I think he will be for the state where that people can rally around. We are joined by Stuart Stevens, my colleague at the Lincoln Project, who has worked on Republican campaigns back in the day all across the country. He's probably elected more Republicans back in the day than anyone. He wrote a book. It was all a lie. He left the Republican Party like I did, like Todd did. He left in 2019, and we have been talking on a bunch of topics. Stuart, I want to take some callers. You're getting a bunch of people calling in. I want to try Stephen from Green Bay, because I know we've got people who want to ask you questions. So, Stephen from Green Bay, how are people dealing with the Packers game on Sunday, by the way, before you get to Stuart, your question for Stuart?
Regardless of what the media wants you to believe about people in Green Bay, is a lot of us weren't expecting to have a winning record this year, let alone make it to the second round of the playoffs.
Amen.
So
on
there,
that.
There's no one around here, really jumping around and saying it was stolen or anything else. We are looking forward to the future. And we are proud of where we made it this year. So that's where we're at with that.
Exactly. All right, your question for Stuart.
I have two, and I'll make them quick and try to make them ebb and flow together. The first one is, I don't get Democrats, honestly. And I am a Democrat, so I guess I don't get myself. when I say that, Republicans of today, And I say Republicans of today because the Republicans of today are nothing like the Republicans 10, 15, 20 years ago. But the Republicans of today have no problem going out on a day-to-day basis and treating the Democrats, the Democratic policies, but the Democrats in response don't say anything in response to that. It would be like if someone was trashing me to my face and I just stood there and took it. And as a result of that, we are looked at as weak, I feel like, because there's no really response from the Democrats. And this notion of we have to turn another cheek to, you know, so we don't look like we're copying the Republicans is not helping us at all. That's my first question. Like, why do Democrats continue to go down this road of being passive and turning another cheek? It's not helping us as a party at all. The second question I have is, what is the Lincoln Project, and how do you join? Can you join? And that's all I got for you guys today.
Great. Thanks for calling, man. Let me take the second one first because it's the easiest. The Lincoln Project is a super PAC, which means it's basically a charity, that was formed as 2020 began by a group of former Republican political consultants who were appalled by what had happened with their party, with one mission, which was to focus on a small group of soft Republicans, soft Democrats, who many of which have voted for Trump in 16 and pushed him over the edge, to vote for Biden. I was not part of that original group, so I can say this without any false modesty. I think one of the most extraordinary contributions in American political history was the Lincoln Project. It's a completely citizen organization. It gets no money from special interest or political parties. In its short time, it has more social media followers than the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. It is the only group after the 2020 election, in which there was over $3 billion spent in politics, it was the only group that Donald Trump was so troubled by, he tried to have his attorney general shut it down, which is the perfect indication of his favorableness. So go to the Lincoln Project website, lincolnproject.org, I believe.
.us.
Follow. What is it? Is it?
.us. I think it's
.us. .us. Okay, so forgive me. And follow us. There's over 600,000 contributors to the Lincoln Project. It's completely donor supported. If so moved, it'd be wonderful. You can contribute a little. And I think that this election is the most important election in our lifetime, which is a cliche, but I think it's 100% true in this. And that's what the Lincoln Project is. It's a pro-democracy organization, bipartisan, focused on one mission, saving democracy in the country. Which right now requires the defeat of Trumpism. On the other about Democrats, listen, I share your frustration. If I ran the Democratic Party, I wrote an article about this before the 2020 election, I would urge the party to be more confident, walk with more swagger, be more assertive. We're right. They're wrong. And I think that would be positive. Now, I do think there's some very, very strong Democratic politicians who speak up to Trump, that speak the truth regularly. I think if you look at the next generation of Republican leaders versus the next generation of Democratic leaders, I think it's the talent is by far more on the Democratic side. I'm more hopeful. You know, Biden's best group in 20 was those under 30. He won those by 22 points. And there are a tremendous number of younger voters entering the marketplace now. And I think that they are overwhelmingly drawn more to the Democratic Party, though a lot of them consider themselves independents, and are reluctant to join any party, which I get. But they're going to vote Democratic. So, I think if we can just get through the next couple of elections and pass off something that resembles the democracy that we inherited from the greatest generation, that we're going to be okay.
I would add to that specifically here in the state of Wisconsin, Stephen. You know, one of the things Democrats have to do is get out and make their case. There are, you know, as the dysfunction and the meltdown of the Republican Party has occurred, places like Wisconsin have seen things like the Wisconsin idea. You know, Stewart's not from Wisconsin, but if I mention the University of Wisconsin, right, like he knows of the University of Wisconsin and its reputation. That has been under assault. Public education in Wisconsin, conservation, you know, the long history of both Republicans and Democrats working on conservation. Yeah. Those have been under attack. Democrats have to get out and make the case because there are a lot of people, former Republicans, Chamber of Commerce kind of Republicans, who are really don't want to see that happen. And Democrats need to get out and make the case. And to Stewart's point, you know, if you look at somebody like Tammy Baldwin, Tammy Baldwin has the success she has, even though she's from Madison in the state of Wisconsin, because she gets out and makes the case and connects with voters. Democrats need to do a little bit better job on a daily basis of doing that and not letting Republicans capture stereotypes of them. We have, Stewart, your the callers are reining in for you. I don't get callers like this when I'm on. So I'm gonna keep taking some callers. We have Bob in New Berlin. Bob, you're on the air with Stewart Stevens. What say you?
Hi. It's a pleasure to listen to you guys. I have 2 points. The Republican Party has become the party of cowards and liars. And the Lincoln Project, I have the utmost respect for you guys, but why aren't you out there railing against Donald Trump? We need your help. We don't want this man to be our president. You're looking at an autocracy. He wants to be a dictator. He doesn't want to be a president. And we need all the help we can get to stop him.
Bob,
and not people like Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. Those people are just like what's in office right now in the Republican Party.
So, Bob, I'm gonna let Stewart answer that, but I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go when you get done with Stewart answering your question. I want you to go on and I want you to Google the ad that we talked about on Todd's show on the eighth day God created a dictator that the Lincoln Project put out last week. 6 million people watched it in the first 24 hours, Stewart, or was it 8 million,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah.
So that you can get a sense. I think you'll see they're we're doing our best we can. Stewart, go ahead. What say you to the question?
Look, I thanks for your support of the Lincoln Project. I agree with what you said about the Republican Party. It's kind of painful for me. I spent a lot of years working in the Republican Party, but that's the truth. And you can't live in a fantasy. It's been a moral collapse of a party unlike, I think, anything we've seen in American history. The Lincoln Project is a citizens' organization. It gets no support from special interests, no support from political parties. And we are working really, really hard to be out there. I think we have a very clear view of what this race is about. And the great thing about working for the Lincoln Project is we can do things that a normal campaign can't. You know, when you're working for a candidate, if you go out and you call your opponent a liar and your candidate gets asked, well, you've got an ad running that says your opponent is a liar, do you agree? You have to say, yes, my opponent's a liar. And that can be a limiting factor. So we don't have that. You know, in the last election, we put a billboard up in Times Square attacking Jared and Ivanka Trump for telling New Yorkers just let them die during COVID. Nobody called the Biden campaign and said, how did you let this happen? It gives us a lot of freedom. So we're going to be very focused on Wisconsin because it's going to be a key state. I think you can make a case. Tell me the results on the election in Wisconsin. I'll tell you the results of the presidential race. So we're out there as much as we can. Follow us, and we're going to get louder and louder as the year goes on.
Now, Stewart, we're going to go to a conservative caller because we take all sides on here. We've got CJ in Stoughton. CJ, you're getting opportunity here to ask a question. Stewart Stevens worked at all levels of Republican politics. What say you?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I do appreciate you gentlemen being frustrated with the Republican Party. I am part of the Republican. I am a member. But I wish you would be honest for what we believe, because we want to give money and accountability for Ukraine, but we want to stop spending billions of dollars for illegals kicking our kids out of school. And these are all facts. If people do a little research, I don't agree with everything Trump did, but he had the illegal immigration down to 30,000 a month. You just had the Vice President Kamala Harris in, and she's supposedly the border czar. We just had a record last December of 302,000 in 1 month. The size of Chicago and L.A. combined is what's come into our country underneath Joe Biden. Those are the facts. We're paying for illegals, giving them money, health care, education, and it's for one reason: to buy votes. So would you gentlemen be honest about what Republicans stand for?
All right, CJ, I'm going to let Stuart respond. Stuart helped elect more Republicans to the United States Senate, even currently, within the current United States Senate, than any other consultant. Stuart, respond to CJ.
Look, I think the border crisis, I think the border is a real crisis. I think that it needs to be addressed. If you really look at it, the Biden administration's had some very good policies that they've put forward. I think it's largely become a political issue. I do not understand in any way how support for Ukraine should have anything to do with the border. The United States military spends more than the top nine countries together, nine other countries. We have a vast military budget. We can do both at the same time. I hope they're going to get a deal. I hope Democrats compromise, and I hope Republicans compromise.
This is the Todd Arbaugh Show on Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back with Stuart Stevens after this break. Thanks for listening. Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, from snowy Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Trigvi Olson, standing in for Todd Arbaugh on the Todd Arbaugh Show. We're joined today by Stuart Stevens, legendary Republican consultant, former Republican, now senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a colleague of mine. And we have been taking calls. Stuart, as I keep giving him a little bit of a bad time, he gets far more calls on Wednesday, which I'm not surprised about, than today is getting far more calls than I typically get on Wednesday. Let's keep taking the calls, Stuart, since people want to ask you questions. I think it's well worth their time. We're going to go to John, which I don't see where John
or it is. Jack in Merrimack, actually.
Oh, Jack in Merrimack. Oh, Jack, how are you today? What's your question for Stuart?
I'm doing just peachy keen, thank you.
Awesome.
And I guess it's not a question, but it's a statement.
All right.
It just really bugs me that I don't know if they're intentionally misinformed, if all they ever hear is lies, but they come on with stuff like these illegals, in quotes, are going to take the places of our kids in school. Excuse me?
I think I know what that's referring to. There was, I don't remember exactly when it happened, sometime within the last month in New York City, there was one school that for a day, because of extreme weather, they did have school remote to let a lot of unhoused people, primarily undocumented people, just be in the school so that they had heat and didn't die. And it was for one day. So.
Okay. Stuart, I want, you and I have had a number of conversations outside of this one over the years. You grew up in Mississippi. Talk a little bit about how, one of the things I find fascinating, I think others from Wisconsin would find fascinating, talk a little bit about how that shaped how you see the world growing up in a place like Mississippi, because it's really different, I think, than what I had growing up in rural Wisconsin. Talk a little bit about how that sort of shapes, even on immigration.
Yeah, I'm a seventh generation Mississippian named for Jeb Stuart. you know, when I grew up, the Civil War was very much a beating presence in our lives. We didn't really celebrate the 4th of July because of the 4th of July is when Vicksburg and Gettysburg fell. You know, I grew up at a time, Mississippi burning, where race was really the essential issue in Mississippi. I think that race is more a part of our politics today than we talk about. And I'm not sure why we don't talk about it more, but we should talk about it more. You know, in 1956, the Republican Party got, Eisenhower got 56% of the, 39% of the African-American vote. Trump got, and then Goldwater got 7% in 64. Trump got 8%. So he went up 1 point every 56 years. Trump's coalition's 84% white. The country is becoming minority-majority. And those of Americans who are 16 years and under are non-white. And the great failure of the Republican Party, and it was part of the failure when I was in the party, is not doing enough to appeal to more non-white voters. I think that when you look at immigration, you know, in Texas, until recently, Hispanics supported Republicans much more so than they did in California. And that was because they had a long history in Texas of a appreciation of Hispanic culture. You know, it goes back to Tex-Mex food. There were so many families that had, you know, brothers-in-laws, sisters-in-laws who were Hispanic. You look at what happened in California when Pete Wilson was governor, and he made a famous ad attacking immigrants. And since then, it's been almost impossible for a Republican to get elected in California, and it's been almost impossible for a Republican to lose in Texas. And that's not the only reason. But I think that the party that I am most comfortable with is the party of Ronald Reagan on immigration. Ronald Reagan announced in front of the Statue of Liberty. Last speech was an ode to immigration. And he signed a bill that made everybody in the country legal who had been in the country since before 1983. Signed that in 1986. We have a border failure now. We have an overall immigration policy failure. We need to solve this. But demonizing immigrants is a terrible mistake to make. We are a country of immigrants. The time to worry about America is when people don't want to come to America. How many people are risking their lives to get into the Soviet Union or North Korea?
Or Russia today.
Russia. Sorry.
They're actually abducting Ukrainian children.
So, you know, I think that we have to treat this as a celebration of what it means to be an American. It is a part of the success of America. But we need bipartisan immigration reform. And we need comprehensive border policy that works.
Stuart, let me ask you, we got 2 minutes left. One, and I want you 1 minute, because then I got to do wrap up. What do you say to the listeners across Wisconsin who want to defend democracy? What do they need to do over the next, you know, 220 days till Election Day?
Look, I think that's as somebody who spent most of my life working to point out flaws in the Democratic Party, I think we are at a point, and it's painful for me to say, that there's really only one pro-democracy party in America now, and that's the Democratic Party. And I think nothing else matters. The only teacher in politics is pain. Trumpism has to be defeated. And until it's defeated, the Republican Party is not going to return to a sane, normal governing party. So the easy answer is to vote Democratic, to vote for democracy. You need to vote for the Democratic Party now. It's really very simple. And I hate to say it, but it's true.
Yep. We have to wake up. People have to wake up every day and say, you know, regardless of what your partisan inclination is, have to wake up every day and say, democracy is what's on the ballot, and candidates up and down the ballot have to be evaluated on, are they good people who will stand for democracy? We have 1 minute left. So Stuart, I got to do a little bit of wrap up tonight on Civic Media. We've got the State of the State with Todd Aubaugh and Terry Bell. You will have an opportunity to listen to what Governor Evers is laying out, how Robin Voss responds to that, and the Republicans. It's an important moment. New Hampshire primary will be happening. I will be back along with Todd Aubaugh tomorrow from noon until 2 every day with the Todd Aubaugh Show. I want to thank Mr. Zommers for getting me through this, and I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. Aaron, I owe you. You got me through this. I thought it was going to be worse than it was. Stuart, I'm lucky that I could have you to come on and fill some airtime. This has been the Todd Aubaugh Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Coming up next, Matt Flynn, who is must-listen-to radio. Have a wonderful day.
And keep banging on your drum.